Hello and welcome to the first installment of the Knucklecast. My name is Ben Weiner and I'm really excited to bring this to you guys today. I recently had an article published in the Charlotte Observer about two players taken in the 2012 MLB draft. Both of them are from Charlotte and they would be Ty Buttrey from Providence High School and then Brad Stone from Audrey Kell. Besides the article that was published, I thought that these two interviews would be really interesting for you guys to listen to. Just to give you some background, Ty was taken in the fourth round by the Boston Red Sox, and he ended up signing for $1.3 million. And then Brad Stone, he was taken in the 35th round by the Texas Rangers. He actually opted not to sign. He's headed to NC State this fall to pitch. Just as a cool side note, I actually played Little League ball with Brad Stone. We were both at South Park Baseball. This is a low-tech first take of mine podcasting, so you'll have to forgive some of the background noises in the interview. But without any further ado, here's my interview with Brad Stone.
What were your thoughts on draft day? What were you sort of feeling?
You know, going into it, I kind of had a pretty good idea if I was going to be drafted or not. A lot of what happens prior to the actual draft day. You know, I talked with the Rangers a lot. I talked to a couple other teams. And I did feel like I had the best chance of getting drafted by the Rangers. And, you know, it was a lot of excitement going in. And, you know, after the first round, it's not televised, so it's kind of hard to know when you're actually drafted. And I was actually hanging out with a couple of my buddies. And I get a call from my coach, and he's like, "Congratulations." I was like, "For what?" He was like, "You're just drafted by the Texas Rangers." And I was like mind-blown.
Right.
It was very... very exciting, and that was very humbling.
Yeah. Now, were you expecting to go, like, before or after the 35th round, or just somewhere?
I was, like, I had a pretty good idea that I was going to just land somewhere. I talked to the Rangers about money issue, and with the new draft rules, certainly changed a lot. So, you know, talking with them, I knew I wasn't going to get my amount of money. Just from a standpoint because they started looking at me so late,
right?
Later on, so they thought I did deserve the amount of money I asked for, but they just didn't have it within their budget. But they said that, you know, they're still going to draft me. They don't know where it's going to be, but still going to do it.
Did you ever get an offer from them?
I did. I got $100,000, which
that's the max.
Yeah. So, and if what they told me, guys in front of me didn't sign, they could split up their money and give me a little bit more. But before I even did that, I told them that I was going to go to State.
Right.
So,
do you have a number? What was your number specifically?
Specifically, I wanted 1.5.
Right.
Not just because it's a big number, just, you know. You got to look towards the future.
Right.
You got to take care of yourself. And if it ultimately doesn't work out, you still, you know, you need that support.
Yeah. So why did you choose NC State, or what other schools were you talking to?
I was talking really highly with App. They were my biggest offer, money-wise. A couple other schools like UNC Charlotte and Chapel Hill. But ultimately, I landed on State. You know, I love the coaches, love the facility. It's ACC baseball. You really can't go wrong.
Do you know a lot of the Charlotte area guys on the team?
I do. I played with one, Logan Rutledge, and then I played against our rival Providence, Brett Austin, Jake Fincher.
So when did scouts seriously start following you or talking to you, watching during games?
They started following me in down in East Cotton and down in Jupiter, Florida, and Fort Myers, all the big perfect game tournaments.
Yeah.
But I didn't come in contact with them until maybe halfway through my senior year in high school. The first one I came in contact with was the Rangers. That's my first official. You know, I got a couple questionnaires every now and again, but nothing too serious. But my serious one was the Rangers. They came into my house and had a sit-down meeting, and then I guess the closest one to that was the Toronto Blue Jays. They also had really high interest on me, But weren't as serious as the Rangers.
Yeah. When were the perfect game tournaments? Was that last summer? Or?
Yes, that was last summer going into my senior year, and one's previous kind of going into my junior year.
So when you were waiting on an offer from them, was it until the deadline on like July 15th, or did they tell you earlier on, we just don't have that much money to give you?
Like I said before, a lot of it happens prior to the draft. So I kind of knew it going in. Looking at it, what money they had and where they were going to spend it. So I kind of had a feel for, they didn't come out right and tell me that they didn't have enough money for that, but kind of had a feeling of how much money they had and how much money they could spend.
Right. So like, when did you realize, pitching at Audrey Kell, that you were going to be a college pitcher and you were good enough for the next level?
You know, it's tough because I didn't play freshman year. I didn't try out. Sophomore year, I was on JV. And, you know, I struggled a bit. And I didn't know if I was going to be able to go on, continue my high school career or not. But kept going at it, kept practicing. And I owe a lot of this to my pitching coach, Coach Korn. He's been an unbelievable help. He's just talking to him everyday basis. Not only do I get better physically, but mentally as a pitcher, I grow. And, you know, going into my junior year, I know what kind of team we had, and we had big hype, expected to win it all. Unfortunately, didn't happen, but, you know, we had a great team and a great group of pitchers, and learning from them is unbelievable. I find that I watch other guys and I take pieces of their game and add it to mine, and that's ultimately what makes me a better pitcher in all.
Right. So I've seen you pitch one time since the league, South Park, and I was playing on Province Day. I just graduated, so last 4 years, and we played you in the
Jack Sink.
Jack Sink, yeah, and you were really good. A lot better than I remember from South Park, but I think we hung in there to the end, and
yeah.
You guys pulled away.
Yeah, that was junior year,
yeah.
Right? Yeah, it was a very close game. That was I was battling to get starts throughout the season,
yeah.
And that was the last day of the Jack Sink. And, you know, I remember coming in to that game. I was getting looked at by NC State and Chapel Hill. I knew both of them were going to be there, so I knew it was a big game going in for me. And, you know, nerves kind of got to me a little bit. You know, two top ACC programs. But, you know, you guys kind of gave me a run for my money. Came up close towards the end.
When you were talking about freshman year not playing, was that sort of like you were not interested in baseball, or just there were so many good players you didn't feel like you had a shot? Or?
Well, it kind of dated back to middle school. I went to community house, and I didn't make it either year. I was cut, and that kind of affected my confidence a lot. I didn't know if I was good enough. I didn't know, like, if I even wanted to play. Because, I mean, to deal with rejection is really tough, and anyone can relate to that.
Right.
But, you know, I decided to give it another go. Even though I didn't play freshman year for the school, I still played over the summer, just AAU, nothing too big, but just staying in the game.
Yeah. So when you were during the middle school years, were you playing for another team, or were you just out of the game?
I was playing just for like an AAU program, nothing too big, nothing too serious, just trying to stay in the game.
Right. Growing up, I guess, all the way up through high school, is there any players you idolize or look up to try to model your game after?
I've always tried to model my game off of Andy Pettit. Big time, most winningest pitcher in playoff history.
Right.
I do a lot of the same things in his motion as he does, so I really try to model him off of, and then just my teammates, learning like how they go about the game, learning things from them, and picking up pieces of their game and add it to mine, make me a better player as much as I can.
Right.
And, you know, kind of pass that down the line for other players to come. Some major names that I knew who were just phenoms for Audrey Kell were like Alex Wood.
Right.
Big time lefty. Doing pretty well down in low A baseball. Yeah. The Braves.
Was he at AK when you were a freshman or sophomore?
A freshman. So I didn't actually meet him. I have met him now. I watched him, and you know, I was like, wow, if I could be half as good as this guy, I think I'll be all right. So that really helps, just being around that program.
Mm-hmm. Do you have any goals for NC State? Or
of course, going out there, there's a new adventure, new goals. But you know, I just want to go in there, compete during the fall to, you know, make it on the starting roster for every fifth day, even if it is just something as little as a midweek start. But, you know, like, ultimately work my way up. I know I'm in great competition with pitchers like Carlos Rodon. He's just unbelievable. I couldn't have much of a better freshman year than that. But, you know, just go in there, compete, and work my way up and try to prove myself and fit in with the team, because I think we're going to have a great season. Got a lot of guys coming in, and they had a strong freshman class and great season last year.
Yeah. Have you talked to the coach at all about playing time or possibly being redshirted or anything like that?
No. I don't really like to talk about playing time with the coaches. I don't think it's right for a player to ask a coach, like, hey, how much playing time am I going to get? You know, like, right. Don't you think you owe me that? Something like that. But prior to signing with them, I knew that I had a couple questions, and one of my bigger questions was, you know, how often do you redshirt guys, and what do you do with that? And they were very honest and upfront, and they say that they only redshirt if they have to. Like, if there's injury, or, you know, a guy just, like, isn't progressing the way they want them to going into the season. So I don't feel like I will be redshirted. So.
Do you expect to be back in junior year when you're draft eligible again? Do you have any expectations or like that?
Yeah. You know, talking to the Texas Rangers, closing out conversations with them. Hey, see you in 3 years. They'll not, just because I didn't sign with them now doesn't mean they'll not draft me again.
Right.
You know, they're a great organization, and I really am honored to be drafted by, like, two-time reigning AL champions. It's crazy. But, you know, my goal is ultimately to make it to the majors, like everyone's dream. But I do definitely, down the road, feel like I would take that chance.
Right.
After junior year, you know, the situation's right.
Mm-hmm.
Finishing up school is a really big achievement of mine that I would like to happen. So.
And what do you plan to do, like, major in NC State or do other than baseball?
I want to major in business marketing, focused on sports marketing and advertising.
All right. Back to baseball. What do you think are the biggest places to grow, or where you can build off of?
Good question. There's always room to grow in any milestone you achieve, or every level of baseball you go up. There's always room to grow. I feel like my biggest area is consistency, going out time in and time out to be the best player that I can be, and pitch at the level that, like, I know I can compete at.
What's the biggest place you've pitched? Like, I guess you pitched at the Perfect Game Tournament, and Otter Hill's a big stage, but comparable to NC State, have you pitched in any really big games or places?
You know, playing with the South Florida Panthers over the summer, we traveled to Perfect Game Tournaments, and, you know, those always have the most scouts. They got scouts lined up in golf carts tracking your every move. It can be a little intimidating, but you get used to it as the more experience you get. But for the most part, we travel from college to college, and some colleges have a bigger grandstand than most. But, you know, as far as attendance-wise, those perfect game tournaments. I can remember Fort Myers in Jupiter, Florida, as being the biggest attendance-wise. But, you know, again, NC State's baseball is just top-notch, and look forward to it.
Real quickly, what are your different pitches and speeds and stuff like that?
I have fastball, changeup, and curveball, and I didn't throw it much senior year, but it's becoming quickly my new favorite pitch. I'm developing a slider. I'm able to throw it a lot harder now. It's coming along nicely, and I can't wait to show NC State, and hopefully that be a pretty good pitch down the road for me.
What's the highest you've hit?
Hit 92. That was at a Butler game during my senior year. And, you know, as a parent, my dad's always seeing who's watching and going behind the radar gun. He's like, oh, you did this. I'm not a too big fan of the radar gun because people get impressed by a big number. But that doesn't mean they're a good pitcher.
Right.
But I just know from him, like, excitingly telling me one day, he's like, oh, yeah, you don't think you were throwing that hard, you were throwing 92.
Right. What's your biggest strength as a pitcher or a player?
I think mental toughness. A lot of pitchers, you know, when things are going good, they're great, but when something happens, they fall apart quickly. And I think that's important, for especially being a pitcher. You have to have that mental toughness. You have to be able to deal with adversity. And I think that's my biggest asset, is to be able to handle that, you know, deal with pressure.
Right.
Is something that not a lot of people have. And I think that grew over the years, being able to handle adversity and handle pressure from past experiences.
Right.
And I just use that to focus on my game.
Can you think of a learning moment from a game or something your coach told you, good or bad?
Maybe not from a game situation. There's always moments that you learn from, oh, I could have done this better, I could have done that. Again, just being around my coach, Coach Korn, my pitching coach, he just is one of the greatest coaches, top 10, in my opinion, around the country. Kind of just fell into Audrey Kell's lap. He came my sophomore year and really helped everyone step up their game. And, you know, I learned every day just by talking to him more and more, not just about baseball, just about life and being a better person. That helps me grow as a pitcher as much as anything.
I think that's about all my questions. Do you have any other just overall thoughts about Audrey Kell, NC State, draft, stuff like that?
You know, moving forward, I know Audrey Kell is going to put together a great program. I know they always do with Coach Bagwell there. He pushes the guys to the limit, and I'm interested to see where they go after my class has left. I know they'll do great, and I'm looking forward to what NC State has in hold of dreams of making it to the College World Series.
Yeah. All right, well, thanks so much.
Thank you. Appreciate it.
So I hope you guys found that interview with Brad Stone interesting. Up next, we have my interview over the phone with Ty Buttrey. Enjoy.
All right, so I just want to talk to you a little bit about your time at Providence and then draft day and then playing with the Red Sox right now.
Right.
So I guess we can start off with what were your thoughts, I guess, during draft day, during day one and day two? Or how are you feeling?
Yeah, I mean, it's a really, like, it's a pretty special process. I mean, I knew some guys who went through it, like Brett. I was talking to Brett a lot about the whole thing, but he's kind of a good person to go to, Brett Austin. But, yeah, like, on the actual draft day, I mean, like, I've been hearing that, like, I would go in the first round and kind of, like, the top 40 picks. And so, I mean, yeah, I kind of had some expectations that that was going to happen. And so, I mean, we were watching it, what was it, 7 p.m. that night. And, I mean, there's just some things that went down that happened for me to go into the next day. And honestly, I mean, it comes down to, it's not needing to shout about about the money, but the money did play a big issue, and it's just that's kind of how it happens. I mean, in the fourth round, the Red Sox, I honestly thought I wasn't going to go play professional ball. I thought I was going to Arkansas for sure. And I mean, I was just kind of hanging out in the upstairs in the bonus room, and my dad was on the computer. And we got a call from the Red Sox saying, hey, will you go for this amount? And, I mean, I was just like, yeah, definitely, let's do it. Because I was hearing I was the last team I was really going to be able to pay me what we were asking for as a family. So, I mean, plus being with the Red Sox organization, unbelievable. I mean, they got first-rate everything and nice facilities and... I mean, great coaching staff. So, I mean, it was a win-win situation, I felt like.
What kind of contact did you have with teams before the draft?
I mean, I was just kind of hanging out. They text or call me just saying, hey, Ty, what are you thinking about? Where do you want to go? How much money will it take for you to sign? I basically told them it's going to take, one first-round money. And then some guys would be like, okay, be more specific. And some guys would just kind of, I mean, like, they would call me and I'd kind of answer the questions. And, I mean, that's pretty much it. I mean, sometimes the area scout would call you or, a scouting director, you may hear from them. Probably not. It's usually just all the area scout, though. I mean, yeah, they'll just give you a call a couple days. Maybe a week before the draft, just kind of see where you're at.
Mm-hmm. So were you looking for more money than the 1.3 you got, or was it just that when the Red Sox called right then that was too much to pass up?
I mean, I kind of had a set amount from the beginning. I wanted to clear $1 million after taxes. And, I mean, it's different with tax situations. There's different things out there. Some teams can give you less and you can get away with it from the taxes, but I did want $1 million after taxes, and 1.3, everything came out to right about around that number. And I told my dad, I was like, honestly, because it's with the Red Sox, it's a no doubter. I mean, the area scout, Quincy Boyd, he's a really cool guy, and I felt really comfortable with him. And I've been in contact with him in the winter and stuff. So, I mean, I just felt like it was the right decision. I mean, they were the highest offer from other teams. There's a few other teams that offered me, I mean, right around there, but it's just, I didn't feel like it was the best fit, you know?
Right. So then going back a little farther, what was important, or what did you like about Arkansas that you chose them?
I loved it. I was in the SEC. Both my sisters went to SEC schools. Just the fans of SEC and Arkansas, I mean, they just love baseball. I mean, they average like 9,000 fans a game. I mean, that's like a AAA stadium pretty much. I mean, and they're just diehard. They're passionate. The school is just beautiful. I like colleges that weren't really mixed in with the city, just kind of more of a peaceful town, rural country area. Just like a pretty sight, and I mean, the football and just SEC sports in general is just like dominant, and I mean, they're the best conference out there for baseball, so I mean, it was kind of a no-brainer.
Right. And then going back a little further than that, when did you realize that you were going to be a college pitcher and you were good enough to pitch at the next level?
I would say my sophomore year. I really didn't have any idea my freshman year. I mean, I was just kind of playing the game. I didn't really know where my body would take me, how hard I'd be throwing. I was kind of scattered out. I didn't really know what really was going on. And then my sophomore year, that summer is when my velocity started jumping up. My high school coach and Coach Hutchins, my summer coach, they would tell me, like, hey, Ty, this school's interested in you. And I'd be like, really? It was the first college interest that I've ever had. I mean, in the first college that I contacted me was UNCG. And, they were great guys over there. And it's pretty interesting. It's pretty neat. Schools wanting, recruiting you, wanting to go to your school. I mean, because at that time, college baseball was the plan. I mean, I had no idea that I could actually be drafted. So.
So then, growing up, did you have any idols or people you like to model your game after?
I really enjoyed watching Nolan Ryan, kind of his pitching style, his work ethic. I just like how he goes about. I read his book, Nolan Ryan's Pitching Bible. It just talks about like all the little stuff of pitching and the workouts. There's a lot of workouts I got from him that I do, like shoulder workouts, leg workouts, conditioning. There's some pretty good stuff in there. But now, I like Justin Verlander a lot. Of course everyone loves Justin Verlander, but not just because he's a great, everyone loves him, but just kind of how he pitches, and he throws harder as the game goes on. I really like when pitchers do that. That means they're in shape and they're mentally prepared and physically prepared for the game.
All right. What kind of goals do you have pitching in the minor leagues right now?
I essentially had my pro debut 3 days ago. But my goals, I would say, just keep the counts low, throw first pitch strikes. At this level, anybody can hit any fastball, no matter how hard it is. You just have to spot, you have to throw it to a location. Back in high school, you could get away with throwing a 95-mile-an-hour fastball right down the zone and blowing it by people. Sometimes it doesn't work out too good, but here, you do that, you keep it high in the zone, guys will, they're great hitters. So location and just pitching out here, the goal is to move up a level each year or each season. So, next year I hope to be in Greenville, South Carolina, and the year after that, high A in Salem, the year after that, double A. So, maybe I go quicker than that. So, I don't know. But just kind of keep a level head and keep working on my mechanics and keep moving up.
All right. So, I know you throw a fastball and then a knuckle curve. Is that right?
Yeah, that's right.
So, where'd you learn to throw that?
My teammate from the South Charlotte Panthers, Brody Corner, he's going to Clemson. It was my sophomore summer, and we were in the bullpen, and he was telling me, I don't like my curveball, it doesn't really do too much. He was like, hey man, try this grip out, and I tried it, and the first time I threw it, I was like, geez, what is this? And ever since then, I've thrown out pretty much all the time I'll go out there, so I learned it from him. He's a great pitcher.
And then what other pitches do you throw?
I throw a changeup and a two-seam and four-seam and then curveball. But the changeup, I didn't throw too much in high school. I'm starting to throw it a lot more now just because, you need so many more. You just need different pitches to work with at this level. You can't just throw all fastballs.
What do you think is your best strength as a pitcher going forward?
I would definitely say not getting flustered. When bad things happen, being able to bounce back from it. Having a lot of pressure on you and just dealing with it, just like living up to expectations and doing what you've been taught.
And then I guess on Wednesday when you had your pro debut, how was that compared to some of the bigger games in high school or at perfect games, scouting games or stuff like that?
Yeah, no, that's a great question. I was talking to my dad about that. It's completely different. The big high school games, I used to kind of get bad anxiety, especially towards the later half of the season. And just I try to stay calm and clear-minded and not think about it. But, it's just, you got so much stuff you're dealing with. You're dealing with the draft and guys coming to see you, and then you're dealing with trying to help your team win a state championship and living up to the hype of being a possible first-round pick. There's so much stuff that's on your shoulders. It's only going to get more once you get higher up in the game, too. So, that was kind of a good taste to get used to it. But now, honestly, we get 7 fans at a game, maybe at the most, 15. And it's just, it's your job. It's your profession. And you're able to kind of deal with it a little bit better because, you go out there and you have a good start, then that's great. But if you don't, then, you just get ready for the next one and no one really cares. It's just mainly getting you working right now to get you prepared for the majors.
right? Okay. What is something you think you need to work on most going forward?
Work on most, I would say, repeating my mechanics, being consistent with stuff. I mean, that's a pretty hard thing to do for pitchers. I would just say, yeah, just being consistent with my pitches, my fastball, keeping it low, repeating, staying back over the rubber, that's a pitching term, and just getting the work ethic up, because, I mean, the higher you get up, the harder you got to work.
Right. So then at Providence, you were playing some right field, I think?
Yeah, right field.
So what's that transition going to be like, do you think, now that you're not hitting anymore?
Yeah, I mean, it's kind of weird. I mean, I've been hitting my whole life, and I would consider myself a pretty decent hitter. And, I mean, it's fine because I understand that there's – I mean, every pitcher thinks he can hit, and every hitter thinks he can pitch, but honestly, it comes down to – I mean, there's guys who are getting paid to hit, and it's something that, okay, I'm getting paid to pitch. Like, I need to, I'm fine with not hitting. I mean, I'm sure if I go back home and just hang out with family or friends, I may hit in the cage or on the field or something, but it's kind of an easy transition. I don't really think about it. I just try to focus on all pitching. It's fun to hit, but it's also fun to get paid to do what you love, which is pitching, so.
All right. Who do you think has made a really big impact on you from a baseball perspective, whether it's a coach or someone like that?
Yeah, number one would be my dad, definitely. Me and him are just, he played rookie ball at the Phillies. He was a pitcher back in 81, but honestly, he's been my number one kind of inspiration and person that I've been able to really talk to. But three other people would be Coach Ignite at Providence High School. Don Hutchins kind of taught me how to just kind of like be a man and understand the world and just not really, he kind of toughened me up a little bit, honestly. And then my summer coach, Derek Brown. Those are the four people in my life that I really have been inspired by.
How's the coaching been with the GCL, since you may not be there for more than a year?
Oh, yeah. No, it's really good. I mean, it's kind of a more of a business relationship. There is a personal relationship, but, I mean, it is a business to a certain extent. And, I mean, these guys are here to help you get to the next level. And, I mean, you can ask them any questions, and, I mean, they're very insightful guys. They all play professional ball. They're all there to help you and get you better. So, but yeah, the pitching coach down here and the coordinator guys and the trainers, I mean, it's unreal how like helpful they are. They're just, I mean, arms open to whatever you need. You need an arm massage, you need ice, you need to have someone work you out, stretch you. I mean, they're there 24/7, seriously.
Right. Can you think of a big learning moment from a game you played in maybe in high school, whether that was a good or bad outing?
Probably I would have to say the biggest learning moment would have to have been the last game of the playoffs last year. I kind of had a rough outing. There's some stuff that went wrong. I mean, it was kind of an unlucky situation. Pitches, I left some pitches up in the zone. We lost in the playoffs. I'm not trying to say like it was just all like put on to me, but just the hype of a playoff game. I mean, it's a different kind of like intensity you need to have for games. It's not the regular season anymore. Not saying that I went in there thinking it was just another game, but losing that game in the second playoff or the second round of the playoffs and us being the team that we are. Fortunately, it didn't happen again for us this year. But let's not go down that path. But no, just having bad outings and being able to learn from them and bounce back, you know, like, I mean, good outings, you're going to have good outings and bad outings, but you got to learn from the bad ones. So that's kind of what I learned from last year and was able to take into this year.
Right. On draft day, do you think you were disappointed, or are you glad the way it shook out?
Yeah, no, I'm not disappointed at all. I mean, people were saying like, okay, well, why didn't you go in the first round? I mean, honestly, it doesn't matter. I mean, going in the first round, if it comes down to the decision, and if it's the right decision for you, and it didn't matter if it happened the first day, the second day, or the third day, but I mean, more than likely, I wouldn't have gone later on because, of course, the money would have been there. And I'm not saying money's everything, but it is an important factor. I mean, you're giving up a college experience to go play professional ball, and I mean, you do need money to live on, and it plays a big part, and I think that's something that people may not understand. But I definitely wasn't disappointed or anything. I'm very happy and fortunate the way it turned out.
Right.
Sparky too, a little bit.
Sure. I think that's about all my questions, unless you have some final thoughts or anything else you forgot to say.
Nothing really. I was just, like I was telling you earlier, it's kind of Providence being kind of fortunate having guys who have gone through this, David Mailman being with the Red Sox, Richie Schaefer, and Fred Austin. So, I mean, Coach Ignite, it's just weird how he's able to turn guys in to, I mean, because I came in there throwing 78 miles an hour, and I mean, he just does a great job with preparing guys mentally and physically. I mean, it says something about the guy when he has four top five round picks come out of the program within 5 years, you know? So, I mean, it's just, he does a great job with everyone down there. So, I just want
to
comment that.
Yeah. Well, thanks so much for talking with me.
Yeah, no problem. Thanks for calling.
That last interview was with Ty Buttry, and that'll conclude this inaugural episode of the Knucklecast. If you've made it all the way through this nearly 40-minute podcast, I'm proud of you. And I owe you a lunch at Bojangles or something. Anyways, stay tuned for hopefully more podcasts coming out soon, and thanks for listening.